To begin.
What is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast with Marvin Knife Sotelo. What's up, dude?
Oh, shit, nothing much. I was surprised you hit me up to come on this shit, you know? But fuck it, I'm here now, you know?
Hey, man, no, I came across you, like I just mentioned a few minutes ago, at the Lighter Fluid event. It was a cool event that was put together over the summer. That's where I met you. And since then I was like, wait, this guy does horror movies. Like, that's how I first got introduced. Like, I overheard this conversation when it's like, yeah, he's been in some horror movies.
Well, all right. And yeah, I was like, there's little whispers about me during the event. I was tripping out too. Cause like, not that many people know me. They know me for my past. That's about it.
Tell me a little bit about your background in terms of that.
Oh shit. Damn. This is a really, long ass story to talk about, but the gist of it, I started out as a rapper, then I went to become an author, and then now I'm doing acting. Basically, that's what it is.
And what are you, so right now, one of the
right
major things
you're doing mainly is acting. I'm mainly acting. I'm focused on acting right now.
Mm-hmm. When you got started with that, how did that come about? Like, what influenced that?
I'm actually best friends with Dustin William Ferguson. He's like somewhat of a big time producer. He's a He's about to break the world record, like 140 films now and shit.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, I've produced maybe like 15 films of his, and that's how we hooked up. He hooked me up with a spot in Amityville in the Hood, and then from there, history was told.
Dude, that's cool. When you come across like these scripts, like what is like the first thing you start looking into, like the story, or is it like the fucking, just how it's going to play out, like the process of it?
Well, in the beginning, I just took whatever roles was available because I hate always being typecasted as a gangster in a film. You know, I'm always playing a gangster or a criminal. I want to do something different, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, you know, because I think for the most part, when it's brown representation or some sort of, you know, just fucking, you know, you think brown, you're like, all right, this guy's in the hood or something. It's like, that's not always the case, you know? We're a lot of more things outside of that. But again, horror thing is something that you don't necessarily always see representation of people of color in horror films. It's usually just majority like white, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, and I think recently I saw there was a movie called The Blackening, which is a horror movie just with black people.
Oh.
So I was like, all right. I mean, they're trying to take their narrative into their own hands, you know, because there's certain stereotypes that when you see a horror movie, you're like, oh, the person of color always dies first. Like, there's these tropes, right? Like, the girl who has sex, fucking, that's not a virgin, is going to die. So, like, The Blackening was like this parody take on horror movies about black people. And, like, if they're all black, who's going to die first, right? Like, that's like the concept of it.
Oh, man.
But tell me a little bit about some of the movies that you've done or been in.
Well, the main ones I like to talk about are maybe Zombie 8, because it's basically a sequel to Zombie 2, which in turn is also sequel to Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
That's the one I mainly talk about to all my fans, everything like that, because they love the zombie genre.
Yeah. You normally can't go wrong with a good zombie film. Like, there's this movie that I recently saw. I think it's called Train to Busan or something. It's like a Korean film.
That was a good film.
That one was fucking good. You know, I didn't expect it. I saw it. You know, you saw the fucking poster looked a little cheesy, but I was like, fuck it. I'll give it a go.
It was a trailer that actually sold me, you know?
The trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't think I saw it, but I think that movie's in Korean, right? And it's just dubbed in English or something.
I know some type of Asian.
Yeah.
I don't want to be racist because I'm Asian, you know?
No, but overall, it was one of those most recent, really good zombie movie that I was what the fuck? It had a good story. But for you, like, what kind of roles are you playing when you're in these movies?
I'm always usually the guy that dies. So, we were just talking about this.
Yeah. Now, I guess since you've done a couple of those movies, like, what has been one of the craziest fucking death scenes that you've had to act out?
Oh, damn. It would have to be Zombie 8 because they actually made me do an action scene in it where I had to flip out my butterfly knife and stab the zombie. Thing was, it was a real knife, so I had to curve my fist in a way where I don't stab him, you know?
The guy's just like, fuck. Scene, you know?
And, like, right after that scene, the zombie rips my heart out. So, yeah.
Shit. So wait, when you're in there, like, I guess you're wearing like what, like a fucking prop or something, and they just do it in camera?
They just basically rip it out of me. Yeah, that's fucking sick, man. I love our SFX artist, Julie Hapney. She done a lot of work with Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson.
Oh, shit, yeah. So the fucking skills there, it's going to look fucking legit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I saw this video of recently of like the stuntman who gets, I guess his job is to just die. you know, so they shoot, like, you know, pretend to shoot him, and he has like these falls where he just fucking falls flat or on his knees. And
I know how that feels because I'm a stuntman also.
Oh, fuck. No way.
Yeah. I was working with Baby Wicked. Well, she don't call herself Baby Wicked no more, but she made me do a commercial, and I had to get hit by a car at least 5-6 times.
What? You know?
Legit getting hit.
What? Yeah. Okay, wait, question. How were you hit? Like, face forward, side?
Face forward, but I had a...
Like, so, kind of roll?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
It's fucked up, man, but I got paid.
You got the shot. Wait, can we find that shot somewhere? Like, if we...
Yes, you can. shit, what was that name of that place? Avanti Law Group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a commercial that always pops out on Telemundo and all the Spanish channels.
Oh shit! Yeah. So you, oh my god, dude, that's fucking horrible. I would think you would use some sort of like effects or something.
Oh
like,
no, some man. Legit. They wanted something to look real, so I made it look real.
Damn. So wait, stunt stuff. How long have you been doing that for?
That's 3 years now, man.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Like, okay. So when that happens, are you using any padding?
No, man. Because I'm also a wrestler, too, so I'm used to the pain. I'm used to taking bumps, you know? What the fuck?
So you do a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I do everything, man. Like, if you go through my IMDb, you'll even see I'm an undefeated MMA fighter. Come on, man.
What the fuck, man? That's fucking cool. I mean, it's cool because you're disciplining yourself through a bunch of different mediums and stuff, you know?
Like, I'm just trying to be good now, you know? I'm not trying to let my past define me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could call me the next Eazy-E because I chose not to leave the life. Mm-hmm. I'm just a different person right now, you know? But yeah, what I'll say is I'm from Maravilla. That's all I'm going to say from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk anything from there.
Dude, that's fucking... I mean, so that comes... That in itself comes with its own weight, mm-hmm. too. At this point, you fucking try to focus on just creating, it looks like, you know? Yeah, and just evolving yourself as a person... who has interest in like just film and media, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make a positive. No, I'm just trying to make a negative into a positive, you know?
Yeah. That's already a big step towards like, you know, that growth, that evolution as a person. It's like, just fucking, okay, I know what I want. I'm going to do better. That's cool, man. When I was looking at the information for like research that you were giving me, like I came across the fucking Satanism stuff.
Okay.
And that was one of the other things that kind of for sure was like, I want to know more, you know, like this fucking interests me, not because of the relationship that most people have or like this common conception that people have about Satanism, like, oh, Lucifer, the Satan, you know, the fucking devil.
Oh yeah.
But it goes further than that. Mm-hmm. And from my understanding, also go for it.
All right. Yeah, there's many denominations of Satanism. Mm-hmm. There's traditional, theistic, Levain, atheistic, Margolinian, so many denominations, and some don't even believe in Satan. That's the thing.
Some of them don't believe. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those, right?
The one that I follow, Levain Satanism, is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
They're more like of atheistic, humanistic nature. So we worship ourselves as God. You know, we see ourselves as Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, what's kind of like the idea behind that? Like, what is like the, you know, when somebody asks you, like, how do you try to explain that to them without them fucking walking away like, this guy just believes in Lucifer?
All right. I always tell them, Satan was the first person to tell God, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
We use that as an allegory for freedom. So Satanism is an allegory for freedom, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was like, dude, that makes sense because it's, I think one of the points that I kind of was looking up here is this, like, you know, I'll go down some of the examples here, but like self-indulgence, it's like encouraging individuals to prioritize their own well-being and mm-hmm. happiness, you know, because we have one life. And if you're restricting yourself to try to follow these rules that somebody fucking said that you should abide by, it limits your own individuality, right? So mm-hmm. I was like, wait, that makes a lot of sense. Like we claim like this power of free will and like independence, but at the end of the day, if we're living by the rules of some religious fucking figure, then are you really living a full life? And that's when I was like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, that, and I see why other people have to believe in God because, you know, it's good to believe in something for some people, you know?
Yeah. No, and it's fair, you know, because I feel like it's one of those things that either it allows you to be able to cope with the weight of just your existence, and it could also be like this form of bringing people together where you feel like community, you know? But I feel like at some point that goes a little too far in terms of trying to push people or manipulate people into doing things for the sake of something holy, you know? And that's where I'm like, I don't know about that. But that's right. When we were talking about like the whole, you know, this aspect of Satanism, I was like, dude, this is intriguing, because the moment you tell somebody about this, it's going to challenge, first of all, it's going to give them this image like, okay, fucking Satanism, you know, it's Satanism. But when you look further into it, you start questioning your own values in a sense. And you're like, wait a second, I can agree with some of the stuff that this is happening. And that's when you start questioning your own fucking reality.
Your own faith, you know.
Your own faith, exactly. And that's fucking powerful, because for somebody to challenge your faith, it means that you are open to some parts of what they're telling you, and it's conflicting with what you know or what you think you know. And that's fucking crazy.
You know what? You're more prolific than I thought, man.
It's a trip. So when I kind of read this, like, you know, another example was with the where is it here? Rationality and skepticism, it emphasizes the importance of evidence-based reasoning, right? Like you take evidence and you figure out, okay, you take information, you try to break it down to make sure it makes sense based on the evidence that's available to you, instead of just being like, hey, thou should not fucking do whatever and just like take it by the word. You know, it's kind of like the equivalent of reading something online now, and you're like
going on blind faith, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's exactly how a lot of us are still reacting to things that we read on the news or the media. Like,
oh boy,
we take it at face value, and that's what we interpret it to be as. And yeah, there's
just
no challenging.
Like when, just like when they announced that aliens exist, we really took in face value. Like, well, I thought it was going to change the world. Nope. We're still here.
We're still here. Yeah. The fucking, especially the ones from Mexico, those little ET looking ones. Dude, those things were a trip. I honestly don't even know what to believe with the shit, but...
Yeah, man.
Like, honestly, it's a coincidence that it looks like E.T. from the fucking 80s when he's, like, dehydrated and dying in the fucking scene. Dude, igualito, like, he looks the fucking same. So it's like, what the fuck? Like, did Steven Spielberg know about this shit? Like, what info does he have? But who fucking knows, man? I don't know. I believe that there is fucking aliens. Actually, recently, 4th of July, I was out in the Bell Area. I look up and there's like fucking 5 orbs just in the sky. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I must be stupid high right now.
I want to talk about this too, because I actually saw something similar, but it was 3 orbs over West Covina.
Like recently?
Yeah, recently. Yeah. Like maybe give it 2 months tops.
That's fucking weird, man. Like, I've been hearing from other people too, like, hey, you're seeing somewhere here. So there's either a lot of activity or we're all kind of like just fucking all tripping balls at once. But
it's like the Mandela effect with Shazam, you know?
With he goes fucking Sinbad?
Yes.
Like, dude, I saw that movie.
I know, I saw that movie too,
man. I fucking saw that movie. And that's, you know, for the audience out there, like, there's this theory, right? The Mandela effect. It's actually, let me look that up real quick, because I'm going to butcher that. But
oh, boy.
The idea is that...
I'm not ready to jump into this tangent, man.
It says the Mandela effect relates or refers to a situation in which a large mass of people believes that an event occurred when it did not. And one of the things that I kind of see pretty often is that whole Shazam stuff. Shazam, to me, when I was growing up, and then like it was like an 80s or 90s movie or 90s, something.
94 tops.
It was fucking Sinbad.
Yeah.
This Sinbad was the guy with the earring and the fucking stash, you know. I saw that movie. But now people say it never existed.
Saying we're confusing with Kazam. Like, nah, man, I remember both those movies.
Because Kazam is the one with
Shaq.
With Shaq. Yeah. Oh, my fucking God. I know it. I know that happened, dude. I don't know what they're trying to do, but either the fucking universes like merged or something.
But I like to talk about this story because Nickelodeon released a horror film called Cry Baby Lane. Mm-hmm. They said it never existed until one guy released a film online.
That movie
proved the film existed. So I know Shazam has to be out there.
Dude, that's a trip. I wonder, I mean, okay, let's just think for a second. Like, let's put ourselves in that scenario. Like, why would they change that? Like, why would they even think about changing that? Like, it never existed. Like,
well, if you want to go with the kayfabe, was it interview that Sinbad went off? He was on crack and he just did whatever jobs he could.
Oh,
I really want to believe that story, but nah, it can't be it, you know? I really do believe he did a movie as a genie, though.
Yeah, no, it definitely happened, because I have it vividly in my fucking head, and I don't know how we're going to prove that, but let me see. I wanted to bring up another Mandela effect that I recently looked into. Oh, Nelson Mandela's death.
Like, oh, when he died.
Yeah, when he died, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I was too young to remember that part, so yeah, I never knew anything about Mandela.
Yeah, no, but the idea, the trippy part was that he fucking People were saying that he died recently. I remember recently, air quotes, 2013.
And they recall seeing a news report or something like that.
That he had died in jail when he was fucking imprisoned. And it's like, what the fuck? I'm a big believer that we live in a type of matrix. Like,
oh, shit.
Like, I don't... There's something about that because there's certain things happen that you're like...
Like, what the fuck, right?
Like, what the fuck? Like, it just makes no sense, and it really has to make you question, like, your place in the reality of things, you know? So, when I see things like fucking aliens right now, they're openly talking about it, like, fucking in the news, in the fucking governments, congresses are talking about it.
Whistleblower and everything like that, you know?
It's like, okay, what the fuck is... There's two ways to see that. Like, what is going on? Some people believe that they're trying to show you to, you know, what is the word? That distract you from something else that's going on. But then secondly, there's reports, like I recently heard a podcast, I think it was actually on Joe Rogan, where he's talking to two people who are involved deep into the fucking UFO stuff. And they're saying that they don't want to tell the people because we don't have the capability of stopping anything of this caliber yet. So for us to kind of chase after it and kind of in a way instigate it is just setting us up for fucking destruction. You know, so that's one of the reasons why they're like, we don't want to kind of really talk about it. But now that they're kind of bringing it out more to the light, it's like, you know, conspiracy theorists are going to say one thing and other people are going to see the other. But there's facts at this point that there is contact with these fucking beings.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw a few months ago, there was a sighting supposedly of some aliens in a Vegas backyard. Like it was like this big fucking video. But
I didn't really want to believe that one.
Yeah, yeah. There was something about it that kind of threw me off. But if there's one thing that kind of did it make me believe for a bit was the reaction of the people. Like they sounded scared. Like they sounded like a little freaked out. And I feel like sometimes, I mean, who knows? You as an actor, you would know how people's capabilities are of fucking, you know, selling an emotion. But
yeah, like on one of those videos, I seen one guy with a gun go in there. And I'm like, why are you running away? You got the gun. Come on. Yeah. Nah, if it was me, I would go one-on-one with these aliens. If that was the case, if that was me in that situation, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for sure, just to confirm it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, honestly, just, I mean, if you had the chance to fucking see this, would you do with it?
Of course. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. No, I would too, honestly.
Because people have weird reactions to something that's different. Like, oh, well, most likely kill it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just things like that, you know? Human nature.
Because there's this thought, like, you know, September 11th just recently happened, right? People have their thoughts on that. I have my personal thoughts on that. But the point is that a lot of people think that that kind of event brought, in the air quotes, the country together because it kind of made you feel like we all have to get behind what fucking happened. This is an American moment, like, you know? And people rallied up to feel like, okay, let's protect each other.
Yeah, it was very patriotic around that era. And then I do recall when Immortal Technique came out, I started exposing the truth. And
Immortal Technique? Ooh. Yeah, that's, you know, so that mentality is that, like, if we were to, you know, let's say alien invasion happened, and that's going to be one of those moments where we all come together as a miracle planet and be like, hey, let's stop fucking around and stop fucking focusing on the stupid shit.
And let's start focusing on this space exploration, you know?
Exactly. And some people are like, nah, I think we're going to exploit the aliens. We're going to capture them or fucking experiment on them. Like, who fucking knows what we're going to do, you know? But it's a little scary just because it's the unknown. So right now we're all kind of like, fuck it. And on top of that, we have so many other problems that we have to focus on. Nobody gives a fuck about the aliens right now. They're like, I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my bills. Inflation's happening. Like, fuck the aliens.
And speaking of the unknown, did you know there's only 30% of our oceans just been discovered only? We still have all that to go for? Dude, like, God damn, man.
That is, honestly, I've seen these videos where it's like fishermen or like oil rigs that are just kind of going through the ocean and you see the big ass waves fucking crashing.
Straight hitting? Oh, man.
Again, that's just the surface. Imagine what the fuck is hiding underneath. Like, who's, you don't fucking know. And it's funny because some of the videos that at least intelligence has caught is that some of these fucking orbs go into the ocean. Like, they just kind of disappeared on the horizon.
I've seen that as well.
You know, go into there. So, like, is there, we don't fucking know if there's something down there either, you know? Especially when 30% of it is only discovered. Fucking shit, big ass civilizations for all we know.
Damn, man. That's a scary thought, man.
Yeah, and what was it, 2-3 days ago, I was in my I was at my girlfriend's house, and I'm looking down the fucking hallway. Mind you, I did just finish watching this fucking stupid scary movie. It was about, I forget what the movie was called, but that's out of context. I'm closing the door in the hallway, dude, and I remember just feeling like somebody was staring at me, like this fucking presence. And I was like, fucking close my door, you know, you just fucking pretend nothing happened. And then a few minutes later, my dog, he sleeps outside the door, and he just starts going,
oh man.
And I was like, hey, fucking Blue, chill the fuck out.
Do you believe in ghosts or spirits?
I feel like I've seen some stuff before, man. Like I've seen, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I feel like I've seen some sort of apparition like before, you know. It may sound fake, but I was delivering some food to the neighbor and stuff, and I was looking through their window, and I'm like, hey, Amirda, I'm knocking on your door. Nobody's answering. And I see this fucking figure, what it looks like a person with a white team, just kind of get up from the kitchen area, kind of walk. And I was like, hey, Oscar. And dude, 2 minutes later, I see his car pull up. He wasn't even home.
No, he was home.
Nobody was fucking home. He comes in and I'm just like holding the fucking tray of food. I'm like, bro, there's someone in your house. He's like, dude, there's nobody there. He goes inside. There's nobody there. And I was like, bro, I could have sworn I saw something just fucking walk through your kitchen, from the living room to the kitchen. And he got creeped out. But he was like, dude, you know what? It's funny because I, like, in the nights, I'll wake up and I'll see the fucking, what are they called? The muebles or the drawers or shit just open.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, there's something in your fucking house. Fucking check that shit out, you know?
Yeah, I believe what you saw was pretty much real, man.
Yeah. You believe them too? Have you had anything crazy like that happen?
Nothing like that. I always usually just chalk it up to just some science shit. Like when I see my door just close, I chalk it up to the wind, you know? But who knows, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I honestly would not want to know, though. There's a movie that I saw. I think it's called Deadly Encounters. It's like this found footage movie.
I think I've seen that film.
Yeah. It's kind of like a low... It feels like a low budget film. But it was good. Like, you just go into some asylum. The concept of the movie is like they're doing a horror supernatural TV show and they're going into this place to record because they don't think it's real and shit. And it turns out to be very real. And yeah, dude, like I think about people sometimes in these situations, or if these situations were real, I'd be like, dude, I would not even fucking think of staying there. Like, you must be fucking nuts.
Yeah. But if you're offered $1 million...
That's a different question.
Exactly. You know, because I would totally do it. If I know the place to be haunted, like maybe the Queen Mary. Yeah, I'll go for it, man.
Yeah, you know what? I've been to the Queen Mary and I had an encounter there too.
Yeah.
Like at the bottom when you go, there's a, what is it? The engine room. If you go down to the engine room.
You're talking about the hydraulic door?
No, not the hydraulic. I think so. You know what? Because you go inside and then you see the big ass, what are they called? Turbines?
Yeah. It's right by there.
Okay.
Because this door I'm talking about, they have something blocking it so it won't close because it always closes on people. Yeah. It killed a few people already.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, hell no, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went there to take a tour, right? We bought the tickets for the tour. We go down into the engine room. And then you can see the turbines and the water. The water looks dark as fuck. You know, you just see and you're like, what the fuck? I walked out of that room. I, you know, went to go meet my fucking girl and shit. And I turn around. Dude, I shit you not. Like, so if people have been to the Queen Mary, you can, there's like a rail that shows you like a little rectangle pool where you can see the turbine. So you see the water, you see the fucking rail, you know? So I'm already on like fucking maybe 30 feet away. I turn around and I see somebody on the rails. It's like this fucking tall black dude. And he kind of just kind of like looking over. And dude, this guy had overalls. And I was like, never fucking saw this guy come down. Dude, I turned back. I told my girl, I was like, hey, did you see this guy? Turn around. The guy's fucking gone. I got the chills, dude. I got the chills right now just talking about it. Like, we were like, what the fuck? And I was like, dude, let's just fucking bounce. Let's go fucking up to the, you know, the ballroom place.
Yeah, man. You probably went to something there too, man. Shit. Yeah, a lot of freaky shit happens in the Queen Mary, man. No.
Yeah, now the place is known for the fucking haunted, especially when they do the scary shit for Halloween. Oh, like that, you know, honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if something comes out like, you know, pretending to be like a fucking person in a mask.
But it's really, oh, fuck that.
It's really real. Yeah, fuck that. But yeah, I've had my share of like different things happen. And when I visited Mexico fucking like 10 years ago too. Dude, we're just chilling outside. We're playing hide and seek. Just in my grandma's house. It's just right by this fucking little river, like in the Cerro. And then we're just like fucking running around chasing each other. And then one of my cousins comes back and he's like, dude, there's something in the tree. We didn't go check it out, but he could have sworn he saw like this fucking dark black shadow just hanging on the tree and had red eyes. And apparently, like, they have this story out in that fucking area. And there's like, there's a mago, like a wizard. And he kind of like lures you in and tells you like to come to him. And apparently you disappear and shit. I don't know how fucking true this is, but I was not looking to fucking figure that out.
Similar legends in the Philippines, actually.
Oh, for reals?
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, we call them the Aswang.
What is it?
Yeah. Aswang.
Aswang.
Yeah. Similar story background as
talking about.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy that that kind of, you know, translates culturally to other fucking spots. And, you know, that's what the kind of things like, I don't know if you've heard like La Llorona too, you know, that's like one of those fucking things. And, yeah, that's some creepy shit. Honestly, I'm really scared of like Mexican horror shit, like, or just folklore that relates to like that, you know? Like you said, you guys have similar stuff like in the Philippines, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's another example?
In terms of monsters?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Or like boogeyman shit.
Yeah, mostly vampire type of shit, but they don't resemble vampires. That's the thing, you mm-hmm. know?
They like the characters that they're describing in mm-hmm. those folklores.
Yeah, because they're always being performed by humans, but yeah. If you read how they're described, it's much more terrifying than that. It's just like how angels are described in the Bible. It's much more terrifying than how they're portrayed in films.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy. Is there like any films that you know of that kind of depicts that kind of stuff?
I do. It was called The ABCs of Death.
ABCs of Death. Oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, one of the skits, it was an all Filipino movie and it talks about the Aswang.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to check that shit out later today. But one of the things that kind of started getting me into like horror stuff was low-key like the gore. Like to me, like whenever I see a slasher film or like some fucking 80s film, I feel like at the 80s movies at some point they didn't have so many filtering in terms of what they can do. Like they will show their heads getting cut off or like the fucking the body getting mutilated. You know, nowadays it's really rare when you see that and it's kind of like a shock. It's used for shock more often nowadays rather than just like part of the whole action sequence, you know, horror sequence. But dude, I remember when I was a little kid and I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember this, Faces of Death.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, I was fucking
I'm actually in a series where we mock the Faces of Death series. It's called Faces of Dying.
Faces of Dying.
Yeah. We just basically make fake scenes about killing people, you know, drive-bys and shit like that. You know?
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah. Dude, we try and make it look real, but it's not. It's all fake. It's all, you know.
Oh, fuck. That shit's fucking crazy. Okay, now I remember what I was gonna talk about. Like, just the fact that the fucking like, when you're trying to sell a scene like that, like, the fear that you have to fucking pretend be in. You know, like, I've seen movies where you see the expression where they're like, or dying, and you're like, holy shit, that shit looks fucking real as fuck.
Oh yeah, I love that, man. Especially on low budget horror films, like, where they actually nail it perfectly.
Yeah.
And going back to scary movies, which one is your scary movie?
My favorite scary movie, it came out just a few months ago. It's called Speak to Me. It's about like the fucking hand. Actually, is it Speak to Me?
Oh, okay. I've seen the trailer to this.
Talk to Me, my bad.
Yeah, the kids, they just like, give a handshake to this little dead hand, right?
Yeah, to a dead hand. Okay. And you start seeing fucking shit. Like, that movie was one of those movies I recently I saw and I was like, oof. Again, because it kind of has like some of those shock scenes and you're like, dude, that's just fucking trippy. Like, anything to do with possessions, I'm scared about, man. I believe that again, you know, in Mexican culture, that's one of those things like, oh, he's possessed or something. It's like, okay, yeah, you don't want to be possessed because you know how that's going to end.
Well, yeah, man. Man. Mostly all possession movies, you already know how it's going to end.
Huh? Yeah, no, that guy's not getting out. Now, I also recently saw Evil Dead Rises.
Oh, that very new one.
The very new one, yeah.
It's pretty legit.
Yeah, that one was pretty legit. It was different from what you've seen with the previous Evil Dead ones, but it was still...
You're talking about the last remake that just came out?
Yeah, the one in the cabin, mm-hmm. which it had some fucking weird ass scenes to that. It's a little disturbing to think about sometimes, but like it's still cool. You know, I think it's when movies make it really a thing to just put fear into what the audience is seeing, like that's when I'm like, oh, this is a good movie, you know. But do you have anything that you're working on right now? Like, in terms of films? Uh-huh. Is going to be releasing or something?
I have Amityville Apartment coming out. It's my directorial debut. We already released a trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's basically an anthology of, how can I put this? Of different horror stories of couples and people living in each apartment.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay.
So the story is basically, it takes off right after Amityville in the Hood. Well, at least in my eyes. The house gets burned down and an apartment gets built over the complex. And we're just basic stories off of each room.
Dude, that's in the, I mean, at the end, all the stories kind of come together.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Those are cool.
I can't wait till it comes out. It's supposedly we have a release date for spring, but that is uncertain right now. But I will let you know.
Hey, no, let me know, dude. I'll be the fucking first one to be like, hey, give me the fucking.
Oh, hell yeah. We're going to have a red carpet screening for it. So I'll definitely invite you, man. No charge.
Hey, man, thank you. You said it's your first
directorial debut.
Ah, fuck, man, congratulations. How has that process been, like, just freaking putting everything together?
Pretty easy, actually. Oh, at first, I thought it was going to be tough because I just announced it on Facebook, and then out of nowhere, my friend, Pat Cusinati, he's a producer for other films, he just slammed his way into the production. And then from there, he just helped out in such a big way that we finished so early, and now we're ready for release.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, do you guys have any ideas of how you guys are going to promote this and everything? Like,
I have no idea right now, but we're trying to release a press kit right now and find out, you know.
Oh, that's fucking cool, man. Honestly, the whole anthology aspect of it, that sounds fucking cool because it gives you the... I mean, it's already done at this point, right? You're just doing, like, the post.
I've already watched it, and it's perfect. I can't wait, man.
Oh, that's cool because, I mean, I can only think, like, It gives you the freedom to kind of work with different fucking
things. Because there's a lot of directors that worked on this film. So,
Because I think I saw something, not in terms of the anthology stuff, but like the ones that are kind of like episodes, like Creepshow. There's like this other fucking, what is it called?
Hey, like Tales from the Crypt?
Yeah, like kind of Tales from the Crypt. It's like different stories, but these don't come together normally. Yeah, they're just standalone. Like
different episodes standalone.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So I get you.
Yeah, those are standalone, which is cool. But when you were able to tell different stories and then bring it all together to one thing, like that's fucking cool.
Oh, yeah, man. Especially the way this film gelled. Yeah, I love it, man.
Did you also come out in the movie? Like, or just,
yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
I actually, because in my scene, we remake certain key scenes from Amityville in the Hood. Mm-hmm. So I got lucky enough to play the part that I did in that film. So I play a gangster again in this film.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
it's like a callback to your exactly. fucking role. Wait, question. Do you die in this part?
No, thank God.
I was about to say, you're going to kill yourself off.
I'm the one doing the killing in this one.
Oh, that's fucking cool. Now, do you do what kind of research do you do before you start doing this? Like, do you watch just like previous scary movies, or do you just go based off whatever you think?
I go based off on the character they're trying to give me. Like, if it's some tough guy, then I actually act tough during the scenes. But if the role calls for me to act terrified, off my knees, like, I have to really give it my effort, you know.
That's cool. I think especially once you're behind the camera, you have more control over how you want to present that fucking scene, right?
Yeah, like a perfect example is I just finished filming a scene with what's his name, Mr. Homicide. He's a rapper. He's filming A Higher Power, and I actually got to work with Chivo from Blood and Blood Out in that scene. Even he had to counsel me on how to act on that little scared part, because I actually get shot by him with a shotgun in front of my homies.
You get shot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I really had to act scared, man. It was really hard to pull off because I'm playing a cholo in that scene. Like, you know, it's hard to see cholos scared in anything, you know? You're always usually seeing them like, yeah, fool, what the fuck, dog? This and that, what the who, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool, man. Because, I mean, I can only think when somebody is like, you know, like, pretend you're sad, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I just fucking...
Trust me, it's hard, man.
But yeah,
it's
pretty hard. Especially, like I previously mentioned earlier, like, just capturing somebody being afraid. Like, you know, that takes a lot of fucking facial expressions and, like, you know, and really to get into that moment. He said that he was walking you over, like, giving you tips on how to fucking do it.
Because he actually took acting classes throughout his whole times in American Me and Blood and Bloody, and, you know. He took the time to put in the work, you know.
Dude, that's fucking awesome. Like, the movie that you're going to be... You said it's called Amityville...
Apartments.
You said it's coming out in spring.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, do you have anything that just recently came out?
Not recently, but I'm a producer for this upcoming remake for Spider Baby. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's going to be really, it's going to have a red carpet screening on Halloween.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So I can't wait for that. And because the main reason I like this film is because we brought back a lot of characters from the first film into mm-hmm. this one. So it's going to be great, man.
It's cool that you stayed involved in that fucking in the industry, you know? That's a fucking point.
I love this job. I'm actually much more happier doing this than when I was rapping, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long were you rapping for?
Shit. Maybe 30 years now, man.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, I started maybe 2003. Yeah.
Holy shit. That's fucking a long time.
But as a musician, like, I started back in the 90s, man. Because mm-hmm. yeah, I was a rocker. Before this whole gangbanging shit, man. Yeah.
Fuck, rockero. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's fucking cool, man. I mean, like, again, it's like all these things kind of influenced your fucking experience, obviously, up until now. And you just, at this point, you're just fucking, just living the life that you fucking want, you know?
Yeah, just like enamorado, you know? Motherfucker, former cholo, now he's just doing whatever he can to say fuck these pigs, and you know.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking cool, man.
Well, I'm just trying to do something different because I feel like everyone's doing what I do now, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you fucking enjoy that, you love that. Of course, so man. You're gonna keep fucking pushing
it's,
to that.
It's just too much work. I prefer acting, you know.
You prefer acting? Mm-hmm. Okay. I kind of get it. It's like being a manager. It's like working somewhere that you like and then becoming a manager. It's like you're just managing.
Yeah, imagine work. Having to control a whole team, you know, like uh-huh. You just got homie right here.
Yeah.
Nah, me, I had to deal with like fucking 20 people, you know?
Oh,
yeah, fuck that.
Fuck, I know. That's a bunch of different personalities you have to fucking deal with. Man. Like, is there anything specific that you look for when you're trying to get somebody like to be an actor in something that you're making? Like, is it just their fucking resume?
In terms, I'm looking for other actors to jump in my films. Not really. Like, most of the people that are in my films are best friends, you know?
Oh, okay. That's cool. You keep your fucking circle close. And
yeah, it's like Adam Sandler. He has his little circle, you know?
Yeah. He has his little fucking group with David Spade and fucking Rob Schneider.
Yeah, you know? Always in every fucking film.
Yeah, even if they're just fucking cameos.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. I mean, we got a few more minutes here. Like, if people want to get more information about, like, the movies you're in, about the one that's going to be coming out, the Amityville Apartments, like, where can people find this information?
Well, they could just Google Knife Sotelo and just find everything on there. But if you want to find the films, I'm on Tubi, Netflix, fucking every platform, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at some of the stuff that's on Tubi then, because I've been on Tubi.
I'll send you some links because I got some good ones, man.
Hey, if we do send them over, because there's a lot of horror. There's a lot of content in Tubi. There's also a lot of different fucking horrors, but there's also some horror movies that are just like, why did you make this movie?
You know? Like everyone from Wild Eye Entertainment. I'm not gonna lie, I'm part of that little crew too, but still, like, there is some shitty movies out there, man.
Yeah, some movies are like, yeah, but anyways, that's a whole different conversation. But with that being said, dude, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the episode.
Thanks for having me, man.
And I'm looking forward to that premiere. I'm gonna fucking check that shit out.
Oh,
and
for sure.
I'm gonna hit you up later for those links.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, thank you again for the time, man. Appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Take care, man. Quiero ver
yourself.